miracle moments, because sometimes I get strength from the miracle moment. When she spoke about the sunken ship, it reminded me of a friend that I have that was a roommate in college of mine. And that's where I first heard the philosophy of metaphysics. And she was very metaphysical then. She's not now. She's Presbyterian. She's a little afraid of it now. But as we age, some of us change. But back then, she was my strength. And I was a little afraid of it then. And she gave me a book called Psychopictography. And this, she told me, that her mother had given to all of them. And they used to read it. And that each one of her children had to read this book about life and how to visualize and how to manifest things in your life. Well, her father had been a CEO of a small manufacturing plant in Huntington, Indiana that had closed, and they had just moved to Lima, Ohio, and he had another executive position. And each one of his children, he wanted to go to college. However, Tommy Thompson didn't want to go to college. Every time he read or thought of anything about his future, he thought about finding sunken treasure and sunken ships off the coast of North Carolina. So in 1987, Stan and I visited, they were living in Columbia, South Carolina, and sure enough, he hadn't gone to school, and he had dreamed of finding this sunken ship, and sure enough, a few years later, Sandy and her husband went on this ship for, they were photographers, and wrote a book about all of it. And his dad was finally proud that his son had found and completed his dream. But I wonder why he didn't finish the dream, because he's still in a court of law, 35 courts. He's not received of the Spaniards and other countries claiming that it's their goal. But while I was thinking of that, I was thinking about when Christopher Columbus came to the Americas. I wonder what it was really that he had. I wonder what it really was that the people in the ships coming over. We have been told that it was for freedom of religion. I have always believed that. I'll tell you another side of that in just a little bit. But of all the days that it took them to come, each one had to have commitment. They had to have dedication. They had to have a passion for their dreams to be able to take that great journey. Of where? Of just a dream, a pipe dream perhaps, in their head. A dream. Well, I was reading this morning on the internet, and quite early this morning, and I read a piece done by, I think he was a doctor, Reverend Dr. Peter Marshall, that great minister that used to be in Washington, D.C. And he said that the religious files showed that those people came to save a continent of people who had no light, who had no intelligence, and had no idea of what God was. And I begin to think about how we've all felt so bad about how the Indians were treated when we got here, how they have been treated. However, how they opened their hearts and they showed the white man how to grow things and how to start a life here. However, I begin to wonder about what our life would have been if they had recognized what the Indians knew. If they had recognized those wonderful elements of the harvest, had recognized how open these American Indians were to nature and to that electrical God force all around them that created their wonderful harvest of food, their wonderful life, because in reality they knew natural law. We're told that back then these wonderful natives, when they would plant seeds, they would thank God for that life force within that seed. And then they would generate that healing energy within themselves and that God energy and help release that God force within that seed to help it grow. And it was the magic of the healing and the releasing of the energy that made everything grow, that made everything multiply and come back in abundance. It was that life force of knowing that God is in every star, that God is in every bird, that God is in every snake, that God is in everything. And when you're in tune with that presence, that your neural life begins to open up to the possibilities and to the communication of God essence to God essence of how to live life. But instead, we sometimes have destroyed the beauty that was given to us. Sometimes we have white men here have gone to other countries and have said, your God is no good. Your God is wrong. You have to do it our way. In this day of Thanksgiving, in this day of 2013, I know that we are all growing in a different way. And so for today, I would like to give thanks for the knowledge that we have gained and the knowledge that we as a human race are growing into in metaphysics of realizing that my God is your God, your essence is my essence, and who's to say we're not all worshiping the same in different ways, in different understandings. Today, we are growing more and more in the essence of knowing that Buddha over here, enlightened Buddha, has grown into the essence and the understanding, and those people who worship Buddha in like mind have grown in love. I don't know if you saw a piece the other night about the tragedy, I believe it was in Kenya, at the shopping center. All supposedly the Christians were being killed. Did you happen to see the piece where this man was just so drawn to go and to help this mother and children, to go in to get them out? He was Islamic. He came in love with his religion to save and to help in any way he could. You see, as we grow in love, as I don't care what religion we are, as we grow in love and understand and begin to awaken that we're all one and that we should respect those values of everyone around us. And I'm not speaking of the fanatics. I'm speaking of the truth of love and that God essence as people begin to blossom into that. That we just might be able to learn something from somebody else rather than telling them that they're wrong. I think we're growing as a world toward that. I think we're growing in realizing that we're all brothers and sisters in nature on this beautiful planet. And for that, I think we need to celebrate that that awakening is happening. Do we still have work to do? Of course we do. But you know, as we live and we love and we walk and say, bless you, have a beautiful day. Bless you. Let me see how you do that. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we all have gifts to share. It's much like when we come to fellowship after the service. Each one brings something that they like to fix. Some things I've never tasted before. And it's delicious. This day and this age is drawing together in Thanksgiving the commonalities that we have, not the differences. This day on planet Earth in serving that divine light, that crystallis of that God Spirit within us is realizing that what you have, I might need to complete my God journey. The way that Bonnie sang today, her light in singing that song, I saw. You shared in that expression of her beautiful God gift. And because she loved that song, didn't you all love that expression of God when it landed in your essence and you had a response? That's what life's all about. It's the beginning of awakening of the crystallis of the Christ consciousness on this earth plane. I really, truly believe it. I really, truly believe that through all the tragedies, there are light workers in every fact, in every religion, in all faiths, in all walks of life, who are stabilizers here today and tomorrow and the next day, holding on to their truth, sending love and sending light every day that's going to stabilize our way. Because the light always and forever dispels the darkness. And as we hold on to our faith, and as we hold on to our trust, there's going to be more of this community. Because people need that vibration. They need to know, as we're walking every day in these great times of change and tragedies in natural disasters, that there's the hand of God still there for those who ask and hold on. It's just like those great ships that the pilgrims came over. Every day, I'm certain there were challenges before they reached their dream landing. It's the same for us in our lifetime today. When we have a goal or a dream, there are challenges in life that we face. And it's so wonderful to have a friend to say, but I know you're going to make it. I know behind it all, there is still a hand of God in that divine essence. And perhaps life causes us to look in a new direction, because if something hadn't happened, we wouldn't change and we wouldn't make that next step that we need to make on our spiritual journey. You see, in greatness, we look to those people, our forefathers. But in greatness, each of us have our own life path where troubles come and the storms arise. But when we hold on to that faith And that knowledge of what we know, that divine essence of love is within us. The waters calm, a door opens. And if you have the courage to walk through, you might just make the greatest discovery of happiness that you could never have imagined otherwise. I know years ago when Doris was just a young thing, I knew her then. She said, I will never leave the state of Indiana. I lived here and I'm going to die here. Later on, we had a summer place in southern Indiana on Brookville Lake. And we used to go to Oxford University, Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. And it's such a beautiful town. And I would tell her, you know, I could retire here, Doris. Not me. I was born in Indiana, and I'm going to die in Indiana. Well, how do you think we all got here? It's because sometimes in our life path, there's a beautiful path before us that we have to walk in faith. And not always does this earth mind know what it should be. But there are times when we have to just simply let go and be guided by God. God bless you.